The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Christ, the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law, he took him into his arms, and he blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go. Go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes this day have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, "Behold, Mary, this child of yours is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and he will be a sign of contradiction, and you yourself, a sword will pierce your heart, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This is the gospel of the Lord. So today we celebrate our feast, the feast of our parish, the Holy Family. And every time you enter the church, you see our lovely mosaic in the front of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But we've got to be honest and admit, there was nothing imitable or normal about this family. She was a virgin. It says they didn't have relations, and the child was the Son of God. Now, does that sound like your family? Huh? I don't think so. So it's sort of unusual in a way that we set them up as the ideal. But let's look at it a little deeper and see how it might still be true. You know, we all decide what is normal. Remember when I was growing up, almost all pictures of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph had them with nice white skin and blue eyes and blonde hair. Of course, they were Jewish. They would have had brown skin and black hair. But we make them into what we want them to be, what we consider normal. I remember giving a retreat years ago, and I asked this particular group, who were a little more mature group, how many of you would say you're not from a dysfunctional family? And not a single person raised their hand. Because if we'd be honest, every family, and you know it's true, we all have our skeletons and our secrets. We have the one uncle who was in jail, and those in their second and third marriage, the gay members, those who have disabilities, those who are mentally ill, those who are on drugs, those who are alcoholic. This is every family I've ever met. There's no other thing. And so to try to decide that there's some kind of normal, it's all what we do with the exceptions. It's the exceptions, so-called, that teach us how to love. If we were all grand and normal, I don't think any of us would grow up. But we have to stretch ourselves and decide how to love, frankly, those members of the not-so-holy family that cause us grief, that cause us difficulty, that stretch our minds and our hearts every day to learn how to love again. A few weeks ago, I had breakfast with Tim Shriver. His mother was Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who founded the International Special Olympics. He's a wonderful man. In fact, he was here in Albuquerque with me last Christmas, and we've become friends. And he loves to talk to me about the Kennedy family. Of course, they were the grand, wonderful, competitive, good-looking, very smart, democratic Kennedy family. And everybody admired them all over the world. But he just wrote a new book, just came out, called Fully Alive. And he points out that even the great Kennedy family had its secret. And in the book, he had to reveal what was really not a secret toward the end, but in the early years it was, that one of John Kennedy's sisters, Rosemary, was mentally disabled and had been put into a home, as they did in those years. And even worse, they gave her a lobotomy, thinking this would help her. And of course, it only made her worse. And so they shipped her off to a sister's convent in Wisconsin, where she lived the rest of her life. And this was the big secret that was never talked about in the Kennedy family. I'm not revealing something. He talks about it in the book. And the family understands now that it has to be talked about. And in fact, because of Rosemary, the so-called disabled member of the family, her aunt founds the Special Olympics that now has spread to every country in the world to give people with so-called disabilities the chance to prove that they can do something too. And that in fact, the something that they have to do is to maybe awaken the rest of us and make us aware that none of us are really totally able. We're all disabled just in different ways, aren't we? Some of us are not as smart. Some of us are not as healthy. Some of us are not as good looking. Some of us aren't going to live as long as others. It's all terribly unfair when you think about it. And yet it's this dealing with the unholy family, so-called. That's what grows us up. That's what teaches us how to love. And Tim told me that the knowledge of their aunt Rosemary was always sort of just a little gnawing truth in the back of the Kennedy family. That in many ways, that is what made them aware of we got to take care of the little people, the poor people. Even though they were all rich themselves, they were most unusual. They didn't try to take care of the rich, but they tried instead, as Jesus told us, to take care of the poor. And we only learn that, brothers and sisters, through the exceptions, through the people who are not like everybody else, through the people who are not so-called normal. And of course, if we'd be honest, who of us in this room is normal? What is normal? I think the gospel tells us that normal is whoever loves the Lord their God with their whole heart, their whole soul, their whole mind, and their whole strength, and who loves their neighbor as themselves. We ended this gospel by this prophecy from Simeon to Mary, and it's really quite telling. It says, Mary, a sword is going to pierce your heart. You're going to suffer a great tragedy. And yet, there's this most enigmatic line at the end. Through your suffering, the thoughts of many other hearts will be opened up, will be revealed. It's the people whose hearts are pierced, who force us to think again, to look a second time, to understand that what looks normal usually is just a big cover-up job. That's all it is. And when we go to the deeper heart, the deeper soul of every human being, we always see that it has also been pierced, wounded, broken, sometimes in very unusual ways. And that broken heart, the dealing with that broken heart of our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, our mother, our father, our children, is in fact what opens up our own. So let's be careful before we decide who's normal and who's not. Because I think it's very often the people who are considered not normal who most bring us to God.